Hello and welcome to the Over Underachievers. I'm your host, Knox McCoy. Join me as always. He's wondering if should John Gruden be the coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers? It's Jason Waterfalls. You see that rumor out there? You see
no.
that? Yeah, some people are bandying it about, being like, I don't know, we're not loving Matt Canada. We as a podcast aren't allowed to comment on Matt Canada any further.
We're allowed to.
Okay. We just can't what? Maybe, just give me my boundaries. Give me my latitude here.
Maybe
give me the longitude and the latitude.
With arrows are now limited. And I think
that's
fair.
You coach like one, you're going to beat one. Okay? That's not
no,
my fault.
No, okay. Right? Okay. Well, you just said we can't talk about it and then you double down on it. So
no, I'm not talking ideal. About it. We're covering the issue of whether or not we can't talk about it. That's not talking about it. But I did see, I'm trying to cite my sources here, unless it's shady. No, this is profootballtalk.com. The headline by Mike Florio is longtime Steelers reporter floats John Gruden's name as possible replacement for Matt Canada. And I just want to say, I'm not saying I want John Gruden back in football. Again, I always choose anarchy over everything. I found myself to be a little bit of a Loki figure, you know, the older I get. I never would have chosen that. I never would have aligned with Tom Hiddleston, but I do feel like that. It makes me wonder.
The more you get older?
Yeah.
This has been your lifestyle since I've known you, bro.
Maybe it's just I'm embracing it now.
That's before the 2-0. This has been a while. It's been over half your life. That I've known about it.
Maybe I just I thought of myself as, you know, an Ant-Man or something, or just something kind of cool on the side. But now I realize, no, I'm always looking for entropy and anarchy. But I wanted
me
to
and
ask
the listeners
you,
definitely know what entropy is, so we can just keep moving.
You know, I got into entropy and I was like, dog, do you even know what this word is? And I don't, but I feel like it's like the decay, like the feeling of decay in the world, which feels consistent with the life I'm living right now. But do you think this is the longest lead into a question I'm going to ask you that maybe has ever existed in the planet Earth? Okay. Part of me wants to keep it going and just see how far I can carry this ball. Do you think John Gruden or Urban Meyer is back coaching sooner?
Neither. I mean,
one of them's got to. You can't do this.
John Gruden, because I'm starting to like the chaos that you are bringing to the table constantly. Your background right now is like you're moving offices. We've got rugs disheveled. We've got posters no longer on the wall. We've got hats no longer on the wall.
Sad.
It's a life that you are living.
Nomadic. Some people
I just
have said.
Don't want Urban Meyer to coach anymore, but there is no chance. So the question is just in general, I get that. I'll say John Gruden. He's been laying low. He showed up with the Saints in preseason with Derek Carr, not David. There is no chance John Gruden is going to the Pittsburgh Steelers to be the offensive coordinator, right?
I don't know. It's an easy way to slow play back in. Mike Tomlin, beloved. If Mike Tomlin's okay with it, I'm okay with it. You know, I can see it. He does it for 1 year, and then suddenly he's running the Cardinals. And he's like, wait, what happened? Isn't he still in a lawsuit with the NFL? Like, what's going on here? I can see it. I can see that reality very quickly happening.
There's just no way. Roger steps in.
Have we talked about at all? I don't even think we've talked about this in our group chat. That Coach O is like helping out Baylor, like he's in cahoots with Baylor with Dave Aranda, and like he's helping their football program.
Wasn't he helping somebody else? Oh, he was at Notre Dame before the season, but I felt like he was a consultant. You know what? Hand up. One of our bits has bit me in the butt. It was who did we pair him with to coach Vanderbilt? I was literally thinking it was like in Memphis or
in
Nashville.
You got misinformationed on by ourselves.
Dave Aranda, Matt Camp. What's the Iowa State Matt Campbell?
Iowa State's Matt Campbell, and Iowa is being ruined from the inside by Brian Ferentz.
Yeah, so all those people, like, just what once was one day, no longer is for those people being at the top of their game. But
man,
why
Baylor? The way you phrase that, it felt like Cousin Greg testifying in front of the Senate for a second. And I loved it. I loved it so much. Coach O, back in college football, that's where the world needs to be. And there's no really, really big reason to talk about this, but Dave Aranda's bald head is almost a wonder of nature. It's so always pristinely bald. Like Mr. Clean could never get this level of bald. And I'm not saying this as a pejorative or like, you know, I'm not trying to like section out people or segment people.
Here's what I'm not doing.
I'm just saying it's a beautiful bald setup. Head. It's a beautiful beautiful bald head. And I feel like he is someone who really maintains that. And I feel like there's probably a lot of maintenance that goes into that we don't understand or really think about, but it is a beautiful sight to behold.
I love it.
All right, Jason, what's good, man? I know you had a crazy morning. I know you had like big deck energy. That's DECK. Chill out, everybody. But beyond that, like what's up? How's it going?
The decks are done. We have a big deck and then just got a little deck for the kids to play on. Hold on.
God, you're walking a tightrope, dog. Okay. You're walking a tightrope.
Leave it in. But yeah, so things are good. We got a championship game for little man tonight. Okay, he's trying to join his sister and I as world champions.
Look at that.
So a lot of pressure on him. I think he's starting to feel the pressure, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But besides that, things are great. What about yourself, besides everything that's not so great that's going on right now?
Can I make a parenting suggestion that you are free to accept or completely dismiss?
Please.
I think what you and your daughter need to do is establish a second table where you eat meals at, and you should call it the champions table. And only do this if he loses. If he loses, because if he wins, like, it doesn't matter. You're just eating at a table again. But if he loses, I think you really need to establish a champions table and be like, maybe next year, big dog, you know, maybe hit
a
little harder.
She did hit him last night with the, I'm going to wear my jersey to your game because it worked for me. Mm-hmm. So if he doesn't win and she's got that jersey on, I don't think that's going to play out how she was hoping, but it's a thought that counts. So yeah. Alas,
she's opened herself up for blowback. So, you know, I have some notes there. I just, you know, in the interest of cleanup, not to go back to the Notre Dame topic, but I want to give us some criticism because I feel like we were swept up in the live show tornado, and neither of us really talked about Ken Jeong on game day and what he did.
Ken Jeong-un?
His whole appearance. I didn't see his, so I don't know if that was a different appearance. The doctor from The Hangover. Was he a doctor? No, he was just a crime boss, right?
Well, he is. He's not a doctor in The Hangover.
He is currently
a
doctor.
He is a doctor, and he was in The Hangover.
I don't think he was a doctor in The Hangover, though, so that's my fault.
No, no.
That's my fault.
Yeah, he's a crime boss.
But did you see the footage of what he did? Like, how sexually suggestive he was while Lee Corso waved like a leprechaun? And this was the Duke Notre Dame game. We didn't comment on it. I'm not offended. I'm not clutching my pearls. But we just kind of glossed over it, and no one really commented further on it. But it was.
I never saw it.
Oh man, you need to look
bad,
it up.
Or it's awesome.
It's chaos. It's pure chaos. Okay. And it's like, the problem was production hat for a second. Okay. Someone clearly was in, Resaves his ear and was like, you all got to hurry, get through these predictions. Okay. And because like we got Lee Corso, who I don't know, he's a little older. I don't know if you know this. You haven't really talked about this. He's a little older. So he takes a little longer to get on stage. We've dressed him up as a leprechaun. He's got to make his pick. There's just a lot of moving parts here. So Reese really hurried through all the predictions. That meant once we got to Lee Corso as a leprechaun, I think they banked too much time. So Ken Jeong, he got like off of his stool and started like seducing the camera, and almost like he wasn't doing the worm sexually, but it was close, right? It was close. A lot of tongue action going on. And meanwhile, Desmond, Kirk, and Reese are just awkwardly laughing for a good 58 seconds straight on camera. It was a long time. And Ken, like the longer Ken went without anyone cutting, the weirder it got. So I just, you know, I'd be remiss if the world's leading podcast on sports didn't talk about that.
It sounds like he got the time and space to play that you wanted Vince Vaughn to be able to have.
That's a great point, man. I hadn't even connected those dots, but it's like, why does Ken get that? But Vince Vaughn didn't get that? I don't know. Feels like a little Notre Dame bias, if you're asking me. If you just want objective view, you know, objective lens.
Do you want to do Notre Dame again? Like, it feels like you do. Because no. I don't. I can tell you this right now.
Listen, man.
Don't want to revisit it. You're blaming AI, incredibly, for making these graphics that somehow cut and paste the exact same app and game or box score.
Yeah.
It must just be crazy for you, huh?
It's what AI is capable of these days. It's really scary. Honestly, it is really scary, you know? So I plug it into DALL-E or Midjourney or whatever we're using, Canva sometimes. And who knows what that thing's going to spit out, you know? So I don't know. We'll take it up with Marcus Freeman later on this week, maybe. You want to go ahead and get to some overachieving, underachieving
this
week?
Let's do this.
All right. So we, in the Starts to Cut episode, we actually had a conversation about Brock Purdy, but we ended up cutting it for time because we wanted that to be, you know, a little tighter, a little quicker, a little breezier kind of episode. So we wanted to leave some meat on that bone for today. But I got to be honest with you. I'm looking at it here in the rundown. I don't want to talk about this anymore. You know why? Because I feel like everyone's talking about this. I feel like we were kind of on the cusp of the wave on Monday, but now here we are. This is Thursday. I feel like we'll be like the 15th podcast talking about Brock Purdy's actually pretty good. So I'm at a real impasse here.
Well, what do you want to do then? Because here's a situation where we kind of did a drive-by giving Brock Purdy his credit on Monday. So we cut it out so we could make it a full topic. So now we're not going to give him credit in two different episodes this week. Is that what you're saying?
No, I feel like we have to zig a little bit because everyone's just like, Brock Purdy's pretty good. Brock Purdy's pretty good. Is he an MVP? I don't know. Maybe he could be. There's just nothing substantial, nothing substantive in that conversation. So what if we did instead like a would you rather? And I'll give you, instead of like, you know, we can start with a couple current quarterbacks, but I'm also like, let's go into the past and I'll give you like, hey, I'll give you Jake Plummer's career and you can have that banked. Or you can have Brock Purdy's future. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know what that is. That's unknown. The rest
is still
unwritten.
Am I these people or am I the GM?
You are the GM.
Okay.
You're the GM of the 49ers. John Lynch, a genie has appeared to John Lynch and is like, hey, dog, what's up? Loved you as a safety. It was weird that you wore 47 as a safety. That's just a strange move. You kind of set white people back in cool numbers for several years, to be honest with you.
What but are I'm not you here to talking talk about?
47, that's Tom Clown's number, man. Everyone knows that.
Okay, great. That has nothing to do with Tampa Bay Bucks. And 47 was an incredible safety number.
No, that's a terrible safety number. You got to bring the wood. And you're replicating a pitcher who throws off-speed pitches and works the corner for the Atlanta Braves during the 90s. I didn't like it. I was a big not fan of that.
This has nothing to do with Tom Glavin. This is the weirdest take you've ever had. Not literally.
Yeah, 100%. There are numbers completely identified with certain players. They own that number. Tom Glavin owns 47. John Lynch does not own 47.
In baseball.
Yeah, but it goes across sports, man. It 100% goes across sports.
It absolutely does not. I couldn't disagree with you more on this. John Lynch looked incredible
in 47. I can't wait to do a poll
on
our Instagram where I slant the answer to go in my favor.
Slant the question?
And
how much do you hate that John Lynch stole 47 from John Glavin? A little or a lot? That's going to be your question. You ask the most biased questions ever.
I'm like, can you, so 23, can you think of a single baseball or football player that wore 23 and you're like, yep, it's unclear. Is this LeBron, Jordan, or other person?
Either Cadillac Williams or Ronnie.
I know the name. I'm not going to help you out because I don't like your energy. I don't
Cadillac
like
Cadillac Williams or Ronnie Lott. No,
it's
Ronnie.
A color. It's a color.
Purple.
Help you.
Ronnie Orange. Maroon.
God, you look stupid right now.
Ronnie Red.
Ridiculous. Ronnie Brown, man. Ronnie Brown.
Maroon.
Yeah, he was my favorite. I don't know what he's doing. Cadillac's coaching now, isn't he?
Yeah,
I feel like that's fun.
Well, I think we saw that recently.
Well, I don't know why you had to, you know, dismiss me like that. Like, you know, that was weird. Wow, man.
No. Just, I mean, like that. I'm just saying, yeah, we did okay. Notice that. No, I would okay. Like to know where Ronnie Brown is.
Somebody gets a new deck. Somebody has a big deck and a little deck, and suddenly, you know, they're the numbers guy. I don't know.
I can't
man.
Even believe this out of you with John Lynch in 47. That is a great looking number on him as a safety. He looked powerful. No. It was like, hey, here's a middle linebacker number that we've scoot back to safety, and this just looks powerful.
No, double down. If you're a middle linebacker, and of all the numbers, the entire landscape of infinity numbers, you pick 47, that's a failure. When I see 47, I just expect you to do three straight pickoff attempts to first base, and then throw an 84-mile-an-hour fastball on the corner of the outside. That's all I expect. I don't expect you to knock somebody out of the game. I don't even know why we're talking about this. Why are we talking about John Lynch? What is the?
Because I'm the
because
GM.
He's a GM. He's a GM.
And I
I'm
love
sorry,
John
that was
Lynch.
Confusing. That was confusing. But a genie, after he talks about the numbers thing and they really get through that, he says, "I will give you Brock Purdy's future, where he could be better than Jesus. He could be Tom Brady Jr. We don't know." Or I'll guarantee you he can have Jake Plummer's career. Book it right now. Which would you choose?
Brock Purdy.
The upside. You're going with the upside.
Absolutely. I think he's getting so much experience from Kyle Shanahan that even in a different team, it's going to translate. I'm not saying he's going to be that good. He's not going to have Kyle Shanahan, blah, blah, blah. But I think Brock Purdy, now you were comparing him to the next Tom Brady. I said, let's take that down one
step. No.
I've got the audio.
Vibes. There's vibes. Late draft pick, you know, kind of protected early, but then comes into his own because he really gets a chance to blossom. Because early Tom Brady was not very good, right? He was protected by the defense.
Tom Brady, I think, was better at Michigan than Brock Purdy was at Iowa State. Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft for a reason. Tom Brady fell.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, you know, people forget that Tom Brady was splitting time with Drew Henson, right? He couldn't beat out Drew Henson. Part of it was there was a lot of Drew Henson hype, who's now a radio guy, you know, and Tom Brady's Tom Brady. Well, I did see like his business is losing a lot of money, I think, but I think the New York Post posted about that, and I don't know if they have beef with Tom Brady. You know, there's like a lot
The story is that Tom Brady and Alex Guerrero have beef with each other.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. There's they closed a bunch of the one of the TB12 stores in Boston or in New England or wherever. Like, there's a rift between those two is the alleged story right now.
I would argue the market has a beef with the TB12 products because what is this? This is not real. What's the value here? That's insane. So you're taking Brock Purdy. What if I said Steve McNair? You could have Steve McNair's career.
Oh, man. Or that is
Brock Purdy's upside.
A very good one. Steve McNair. Underrated, by the way.
Very underrated.
Steve McNair versus Brock Purdy. Oof, I'm going to have to take Steve McNair's career.
I think so. No, I think so. They're very similar in a lot of ways. I know they called Steve McNair Aaron McNair, and I never felt like he threw a great deep ball. So that was always confusing to me. I will say the moment I knew I needed to get out of fantasy football, and I still didn't for like 4 years, was when we have a mutual friend.
When you and I stopped talking for years at a time?
That was the one, like, it's like intervention style. Like, hey, you really have to get out of this. This was like the first red flag, and no one helped me recognize it. But our mutual friend, our mutual friend Brennan's brother Ryan, was in our fantasy football league, and I badgered him nonstop trying to trade Steve McNair for Peyton Manning. And my rationale was Steve McNair won MVP last year. They were co-MVPs, ergo they're equal players. When I knew that was not true, that was not factually true, and I was just trying to be belligerent and manipulative, and he just stopped returning my emails and texts.
I don't blame him.
I know. But I was just trying to, I thought like, I can just force this. You know, I can terrorize Ryan.
The fact that you said emails and not text just shows how long ago that was. But alas, here we are.
It was a very long time ago. Let me see. Let me just go rapid.
What would happen if Steve McNair's career was not with Jeff Fisher? I love Jeff Fisher, but let's just be honest. Maybe he wasn't revolutionizing the quarterback game for his team. Steve McNair, man, you just think. What would have happened if he was with someone like Kyle Shanahan his entire career? That'd be crazy. Like, that's the upside of Brock Purdy. This might be a match made in heaven, and that's why the upside, it's about having the coach as well, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And that's why this is kind of tough. All right, who you got for me?
Jeff Garcia. Rapid man. Fire. Gut instinct.
Gut instinct is that man is awesome. I love him.
I included him because you have such a complicated history with Jeff Garcia.
It's not complicated. I think he is very underrated. Not quite as underrated as Steve McNair, all things considered. I'm going to take Brock Purdy's upside over Jeff Garcia, but he was very fun to watch.
Mark Brunell.
God, these are good, man. Because
Thank you.
Mark Brunell is tough. Was he Jaguars and then St. Louis or the other way around?
I don't remember him going to St. Louis. I remember him going to the Jets. Because he lost a lot of money in like the Bernie Madoff thing, I think. So he I have to be the backup now forever because I lost my money.
Wasn't there a different Mark on the Rams?
You think of Trent Green?
No.
Mark Bulger. You're thinking Mark Bulger. Bulger.
Okay, there you go. All right, thanks. Good pull by you. Good pull
low-key,
by you.
Low-key, great name. Low-key, a little horny name, but okay. Kind of a fun name. You know?
All right. See what you're doing here today. I'm going to take Brock Purdy over Mark Brunell.
Okay, last one. Troy Aikman.
This one's tough.
If
you go back and look, Marino, Elway, others were really getting a lot of credit, uh-huh. and Aikman was not, but he was winning. Aikman was really good.
What's the most touchdowns he threw in a year, do you think? If I put the over-under at 24.5, you take the over then.
Under.
Yeah, it's 23. 23.
But you have that elite offensive line and run game. That's not necessary.
Yeah, you also have Alvin Harper and Michael Irvin, you know, and you have Jay Novacek.
So you're saying that Troy Aikman, all things considered, overrated in his career. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think people see the championships. They're like, that guy must have been incredible. I would take Brock Purdy's upside over Troy Aikman's career. Fact.
I think I'll take Troy Aikman. Underrated. I also love him, and he looks like Jay-Z. So, like, all these things combined. I think we've brought this up a long time ago, but if you've not seen the side-by-side of Troy Aikman and Jay-Z, everybody, go Google it right now, Troy Aikman, Jay-Z. It is incredible.
I'm glad you reiterated that, because I thought I had a stroke, and I heard that, and I was like, there's no way he said he looks like Jay-Z. I'm not even going to call back to that, because it'll be confusing.
Have you even seen that before?
I have not. Please send that, because I want to understand, and I want you to look at news reports of John
Gruden.
Bro, you
ain't ready. I'm about to screen share. You aren't ready for this.
Oh my gosh. What? Why is it so close. I thought it was going to be like a weird angle and people manipulated it, but it is, whoa. It.
I'm telling you.
Bro, that's incredible. That's incredible.
Yes.
That's legitimately incredible. But I'm still taking Brock Purdy over his career.
I'll take Troy Aikman.
Troy Aikman, do you realize he went to Oklahoma to run like the triple option, like wishbone, like that Barry Switzer went and was like, huh, I don't want to do this. I'm going to go to UCLA. That's kind of crazy. I can't imagine Troy Aikman running that, you know?
Also, Troy Aikman, the least Southern California person of all time and was awesome at UCLA.
Yeah, he kind of defies regionality. Like, I know I'm supposed to think of Texas, but I don't hear Texas. I don't hear Midwest. I don't hear
South. I hear Texas. You're telling me he's not got a belt buckle on, jeans, boots?
I think he's all hat, no cattle, my man. That's what I think right now. Fact,
wait, what did you just say? All hat, no cattle?
Hat, comma, no cattle. That's what I said, and I feel it.
You just saved your 47, because I've never heard that before, and that's I know you probably didn't make it up, but that's incredible. You just saved John Lynch 47 situation.
I've heard it around, but I also, when I floated out the idea to Erin that I might buy a cowboy hat while we were in Austin, she said that's an example of all hat, no cattle. And then she explained what that meant. And I was like, well, I can never have a cowboy hat now. So shout out Erin and all of her broken body. Thoughts and prayers to Erin as she heals in this very difficult time. But you know what? I do think, let's just break down the Erin injury for a minute, or injuries, plural. I think if you're going to get injured post 40, the only kind of cool way to get injured is playing sports.
I'm trying to think if there's any other situation.
If you got injured, like getting out of an elevator, that's sad. It's all sad, right? But if you're like, I died so this pickleball rally could live, it's pretty cool. You know, it's pretty cool.
And the fact that she kept playing is unbelievable.
It really is. It's
and
like
the fact
Kirk Gibson,
that she thought she was just
1988.
Fine. I was texting with her the other night and I was like, hey, how you doing? She's like, I took one of my braces off. I think it's fine. I was like, please go get actual x-rays.
I love it.
We can't WebMD ourselves on broken bones. You know what I mean?
In another life, you know, if she was born a little earlier, and unfortunately, if she was a guy, she might be the greatest WWF wrestler to ever have lived. You know, I'd put her up with Big Van Vader, Sting, the Nature Boy. She could be in that mix because her broken body would still be performing.
She was definitely part of NWO.
Oh my gosh. Hollywood Hogan, Macho Man. Let's go. I kind of want to do a deep, like everybody muff him. I kind of want to do a Macho Man, Randy Savage deep dive. Just cause I want to know more about that guy. I don't know if he's a cool guy. He might have like skeletons in his closet, but I really just want to do the Macho Man impression the whole episode.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, just a lot.
Were
of
you
that.
Big into wrestling?
I burned hot like 18 months and I was so in and then I was out.
Never for me. I just liked Hogan. I liked the characters, but I never actually watched wrestling. I loved Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
I think I'm running out of people that I can name confidently.
It's kind of a casual pick, to be honest with you, but I get it. I understand it.
Oh,
you
know? Really? Because my dad met him on an airplane one time.
Yeah. Well, that's cool for your dad. And honestly, probably more cool for Andre the Giant that he met your dad. No. You know?
That was definitely cooler for my dad.
My dad met Terry Bradshaw on a plane before. And I don't know if he even met him. He just was on a plane with Terry Bradshaw. And he was like, that's the biggest human being I've ever seen in my life. You know, like not Andre the Giant style, but he's like.
Yeah, I was going to say, the example that I just gave was literally one of the biggest human beings on the planet. And then,
guess what? Maybe my dad only meets small people. He's never met Andre the Giant. So how could you say that it's a wrong comparison? You know,
that's true. That's a good point.
He's like, he's just a huge person, just a huge quarterback person. We forget how big football players are, I think is the point. So you're going. So if I said Kirk Cousins' career thus far or Brock Purdy.
Hold on. See, this is the type of, this is the way you make the Instagram questions, because you just like allege at the beginning. So you're going, if I said Kirk Cousins, like you've already alleged that like somewhere in the cutout audio, which I didn't cut anything out,
right?
Is that I was picking Kirk Cousins over Brock Purdy's upside?
Okay, that's a fair point. To my credit, you are. I know you are. And I know your personal bias about Kirk, his lifestyle, his family situation, his affinity for bonfire sweaters with holes in them. All of that is going to lead to you picking Kirk Cousins' career.
I have an affinity for having choices, and one of his choices is he now has a bonfire sweatshirt.
Exactly.
And I love that. I'm going to go Brock Purdy on that one, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you're just being contrarian. You're just being contrarian.
No, I'm not being contrarian.
Right now.
You set it up to make it seem like I was definitely going to pick Kirk Cousins, and I'm not. I'm picking Brock Purdy. I think he's really good. I think what we're saying here is there's a lot of upside potential. Now, like for very many quarterbacks in the world, like what if we find out Brock Purdy has a dogfighting situation going on? Wow. Like These type of things have taken down great quarterbacks that we love in the past. It could be repeated.
If Brock Purdy has a dogfighting club, that would be, I'm not saying that would be like, it wouldn't be cool. End of statement. Next topic. But if I had to double back, I'd say it would be a wrinkle. It would be unexpected. You know, that would be something I did not expect from Brock Purdy.
I mean, there's just situations that I'm not alleging anything, right? I'm saying that would be crazy. And we've seen it happen before. So I think that, you know, the Kirk Cousins of it all, it's just somebody you trust. And I don't know if I can trust Brock Purdy quite yet.
Which would be more stunning, that Kirk Cousins has a dogfighting ring? Okay. What would be more stunning? That Kirk Cousins has a elderly home fight club ring he runs, or that Brock Purdy has a dogfighting ring?
Oh my gosh, those two people that he brings into his house and end up having something really shady going on behind the scenes.
I can talk my way into, like, it just was a joke and then it kept happening and there's so much money, you know, and there's just so much people relying on it. And then you look up and Kirk Cousins is like, you know, the mob boss of an elderly person fight club.
If Kirk Cousins ever gets in a tax fraud situation, I'm going to be crushed, because he seems like somebody that is on top of and like checks with his CPA, checks with his business manager, checks with his finance manager. He's not micromanaging them. He's just checking to make sure we're good, right? Do you need anything from me?
I'll go one step further. I feel like he's like, hey, IRS, I just really feel confident that you underestimated the taxes I owe. So I'm going to send you $220, because I feel like that's kind of where we're at. And then you can just get it back to me if I'm wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just want to be on the good side of that. I think that's good. I agree. Unlike you, I think he's really good. I think Brock Purdy is just really, really elite and really excellent and really good, you know? And I'm glad we had this so people could see, you know, where we stood individually on that. Something else that's really good. I don't know if this is true. I don't know if this is a true segue. Something else that is the Iron Claw trailer that dropped recently.
Speaking of wrestling.
We both watched this. Yeah, speaking of wrestling, I don't know if that's Wrestling on the Brain and Zac Efron and Aaron. I don't know if that's the unconscious bias I had. But this movie, I've read about this. This is the first footage I've seen. It's Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White. I don't think I recognize anybody else. And they're wrestlers. And it's based on a true story.
Lily Collins?
Oh, yeah.
Lily James?
Nope. Lily James. Man, I'm glad you said that, because I was never going to... When I was watching the trailer, I was like, what is her name? Daisy Edgar Jones. That's not right. Daisy Jones and the Six. That's not even a person. That's a band. I was never going to get there. But yeah, she's also in this somehow with negative chemistry with Zac Efron, which is often his problem. You watched the trailer. What did you think about it?
I am very nervous for Zac Efron in this movie, because I think that Jeremy White, do you ever do that? Just leave out the Allen? Is that crazy?
No, but I don't want to try that. Well, can I? Yes, and Allen White from the Bear? Excellent actor. I don't know if you're familiar with his work.
I think he's going to act our good friend Zach straight off the screen. And Zach is a thick boy in this.
He almost
We've seen the
looks
pictures
like
a couple of months ago, but he is a thick boy in this.
He's a thick boy, and he looks a little bit like Thanos' stepson. You know? Like, it's no, not Thanos' stepson. Thanos is like half nephew. There's a little bit of like Thanos jaw to him, which is crazy because I'm assuming there's no CGI here, whereas Thanos is entirely CGI. So that's interesting. Allegedly, we don't know. His body, his choice. But it's the haircut that frames the weird face is very concerning. My only note to your allegations that Alan White might act Zac Efron off the screen. What if this is just not a good movie? And what if no one can act anyone off the screen because the script's not good?
I think that is a situation, but have you ever seen Jeremy Allen White do any bad acting ever?
Allen White, no. I don't think I have.
Do you think that it's Jeremy Allen and like that's a first name situation, or last name is Allen White?
Let's come to consensus on.
Or is this a middle name?
Or is this J.A. White?
Currently looking, I'm not trying to trap you like you do to me. I'm currently reading an article and it says, the bowl cut sporting Kevin, parentheses, Efron, parentheses, and Carrie, parentheses, Allen White, parentheses. Mm-hmm. So it's acting like Allen White is his last name.
It's like a hyphenated situation, but I don't see a hyphen.
There's no hyphen.
I think I like Allen White, or I like Jeremy White.
Jaw.
Whoa.
J-A-W.
J-Dub. J-Dub. I like that.
We call him Jaw from now on. Jaws.
I like that, and I think... that's a fun way to really confuse people on who we're talking about, which is my favorite thing. Honestly, it really is.
I mean, you know? A lot of people don't know his name, but if you see him, you recognize him either from Shameless or from The Bear. But a lot of people don't know. It's just not a. It's just not a memorable name. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's a great name. It's a strong name, Jeremy Allen White. But it's just not memorable for whatever reason.
It might be the whitest name that I can think of right now. You know, Jeremy Allen
Little on brand.
White. Right? It's right there.
I think there's no way he doesn't act Zac Efron off the screen based on this trailer.
Okay. Here are my concerns. Ja is an actor who really thrives in nuance, subtlety. This movie, the trailer, the optics, the aesthetic looks great, right? But it is a topic about wrestling, which is historically unnuanced, unsubtle. There's even a kayfabe to it of like, everyone knows this is a joke, but we're taking it seriously. Ergo, it's funny. So it's almost like Ja took this on to be like, this is the worst matchup for me and my skill set, and I'm going to see if I can make it work. Whereas it's perfectly suited for Zac Efron, who is kind of unsubtle, who is kind of unnuanced. So I don't know how this is going to go. I do think there seems to be an implication of some southernness here with these people, with Zac Efron's accent. And that's where I really bumped, is because I feel like if you are going to do a kind of rural, kind of southern based story, you need someone who feels like that. And I don't have that in this movie. I would have, like, if Boyd Holbrook shows up, that'd be great. Walton Goggins would be perfect for this as like a CD promoter. But I don't really have that anywhere. So I'm a little concerned.
I like the idea that if you think southern, you're just going to try to cast Justified from here on out.
100%. Absolutely.
And they are great.
Righteous Gemstones. The end.
This is A24. So this is your wheelhouse. So you're saying that they messed up here? It looks good, but it's not going to be good?
I'm saying if you consider path to success, some movies have a very easy path. Some movies don't. This is one that has a very narrow path to success. I'm not saying it can't be. I'm just saying it's going to be tricky, you know?
I've got a pitch for you.
Okay.
If you watch Jaw in this trailer, he's got a headband on and really awesome hair.
Yeah, he does.
Reboot Rambo.
Whoa. Okay. I really like that.
Jeremy Allen White as Rambo.
I mean, wasn't Rambo like politically charged John Wick, you know? And like, that's cooking. That's working. I think if I had a fixture, a southern fixture, I would feel a little more comfortable. Because it made me think, you know, sometimes when Jeremy Piven shows up in British stuff and you're like, I bet British people are like, wait a minute. What? This is not. He's not one of us.
I mean, I don't know how southern they actually are. Their last name is Von Ulrich.
It's enough to where in the voiceover at the beginning of the trailer, Zac Efron is like, wrestling has kind of always been my daddy's thing. So it's like, there's something. I don't know where.
Mom's like, hey, go put your pants on.
Baby, we need paints in the kitchen, okay? Like, it might be Missouri, and that's fine. It might not be Mississippi or like deep Alabama, but I need something.
Dude,
you know?
This is so crazy. In one of the pictures, it's like the main pictures for the movie. It's the four boys together, like, you know, giving each other noogies and headlocks or whatever on a fence post. So we've already been talking about Texas. One of them's wearing a practice jersey. Guess what number is on that practice jersey?
It better not be 47.
It is literally 47.
Okay, is it Zac Efron? Is it Jaw? Or is it the Potato Brother?
It's one of the Potato Brothers.
Okay, point. Case in point. Right there. Case in point.
Look at that.
Guy, you're right. What are the odds? What are the odds?
It's all coming together for us. 47. Great number.
Okay, let's talk. Let's keep on the theme of overachieving, underachieving. And I want to talk to you about I think we want to call this the college football top five, 10 teams, right?
Yes.
Because there's a top five, but I feel pretty confident that 10 teams are in competition for that top five. But it feels like it warrants a conversation at this point in the season on the cusp of a weekend that I really feel like is going to go a pretty good way in determining the shape of the playoffs going forward. So if you had to say, are we unanimous on who number one is?
I think it is becoming a battle because Michigan is looking really good. Who have they played? Blah, blah, blah. But yes, it's still Georgia.
Here's what I think. This is complicated. I think in the playoff, if everything remains as it is, I think Georgia deserves the number one because, right?
If they win like out, said, and they win the SEC championship.
Be the best, you got to beat the best.
Yep.
However, if you're telling me, if I'm just in a laboratory in a white coat, evaluating who I'm most impressed with up to this point, I'm picking Michigan right now.
And the great news is, and the underlying of these top 5-10 teams is that Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State are about to do a round robin of kicking each other in the face. So yeah. We will know for a fact if Michigan is as good if they get both those wins as we thought they were.
Now, what do I like? What do I dislike? I like James Franklin taking a shot at Michigan.
Oh, man, I'm going to clip that because you just said I like James Franklin.
Oh, God, trapped. I fell into the trap. I'm so mad at myself. But he was like, threw some shade at the quality of opponent. I do think they're murdering their opponents in various ways. So I think that's interesting. I also like PJ Fleck being like, that's the greatest ball team I've ever seen in my life. Which, if you get dump trucked, the best thing to do is be like, well, the only reason I got murdered was because that's the best team ever assembled.
We lost to the champions, you know?
That's elite spin zone right there, guys.
We won no other games, but we did lose to the champions.
Yeah. It makes you want to pull a Mark Stoops and be like, well, we just got beat because they bought players and we don't have as much money to buy players. But I think the way to be smart about your coaching career and perception is be like, no, we're still fine. That's just the greatest team ever assembled in human history.
You know? I just want to make sure that you don't do that same voice for Bob Stoops because he is a national
I respect
treasure.
Bob Stoops. I would okay. never. He's busy winning XFL championships and growing awesome goatees and beards. You know, why would anyone say anything bad about?
Maybe my future stepdad.
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? We're not even going to talk about Mike Stoops. So I've got Michigan, you've got Georgia, and then I'm assuming you have Michigan and then I have Georgia.
So you thought the unanimous we were going to say together was Michigan?
No, to be honest with you, I said that and I hadn't even considered. Jason's definitely not with me on number one. So cart got before the horse.
Gotcha. That's all good. Bad. All good.
Big horse guy over here. Yeah.
So those are two of the top 5-10 teams.
That's right. Who's your number three?
Ohio State. And I don't think that they're going to lose to Michigan or Penn State, more than likely Michigan. But I think Ohio State needs to be up there.
I love what you did because you kind of secretly also loved up Notre Dame.
Correct.
Because barely lost to the number three team. That's got to mean something. But you also disrespected Ohio State by being like, they're going to get beat. But
remember, Notre Dame's lost two games to two teams that are ranked above them now and are undefeated. Both those teams are. So those are quality losses.
They almost don't even count as losses, honestly.
If you think about it.
Look at it from a certain angle. Yeah. It's like just like off weeks.
That's why James Franklin's correct. You know, yep. Michigan's out here playing a Mickey Mouse schedule. What's Notre Dame doing? Playing Ohio State, playing Louisville, the juggernaut that is Louisville.
Listen, don't sleep on Louisville. But James Franklin didn't name Michigan. He just said somebody. We don't know who. Somebody's doing this.
Fair. I shouldn't have put words in his mouth.
We have to investigate. If I did it, who would this be? You know, who would we actually be talking about? I'm going to get a little zany. I'm going to get a little wild. I'm going to get a little wacky. I'm going to say Oklahoma. I'm going to put Oklahoma.
You
there.
Believe that Oklahoma right now is the third best team in the nation.
I'm evaluating what I've seen. And if Texas had won, Texas would be right there.
I think Texas has some flaws. I think they're really good. I think this is the best Texas team we've seen in a while. They didn't look good. They were not composed. They were not together. They were not right. The right game plan. It could be the coaches, whatever the situation may be. That first half was not good for Texas.
No, it wasn't. But you know what? Let me push back a little bit because
and Oklahoma for the record. I'm not.
Yeah,
you know,
that's the. I'm trying to be really respectful about both teams because I'm so impressed with Oklahoma. I was impressed with Texas because another program like I don't know, like an Ohio State or like a Florida or like a Clemson. When you have that first quarter, that turns into a 30-point blowout. But Texas stayed in it. And really should have won that game if Sark gets a little more aggressive. So to play so terribly and still probably should have won in such a tense game, that's one of those Notre Dame losses where it's like, is it a loss or is it actually kind of a win? I don't know.
Who knows? I just have to be super clear. We are not branding that Notre Dame losses. We're not using that for the rest of our time here together, this episode and henceforth. We're
now,
not.
Can I be honest with you?
We are not doing that.
If you hadn't said anything, it would have just disappeared and become an ethereal thing that someone said. Now that you protested, I feel like I have an obligation to try to make it a thing. And then if the market accepts it, the market accepts it. You know?
You want to know a little secret? I knew exactly.
Is that what you're doing?
That was exactly what I was doing. Because then when it becomes a thing in the zeitgeist that it's a Notre Dame loss, then I get to say all Notre Dame losses are good. Because essentially we're saying losses are good because they're Notre Dame losses.
Yeah, it's not a regular loss.
Like a funky fiddle.
That's excellent stuff. Honestly, good job by you. Good job by you, honestly. Because it's not, it's like, I'm not a mom, I'm a cool mom, right? This wasn't a loss, it's a Notre Dame loss. So it's like plus one, basically. But yeah, I just, I'm really impressed with Oklahoma. I'm super impressed with Texas. Do I think Oklahoma will be here at the end? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But
you're
going
to have to play Texas again, right? Big 12 championship?
People keep saying that. And I've just gone along with him, been like, yep, they sure are. I have no idea. I don't know what conference championship rules are.
If you're saying that Texas wins that game and they're in your number three spot, then you're saying that Texas is going to win out and Oklahoma's going to win out.
No, I didn't say Texas won that game. I said they had a Notre Dame loss. So
No. I'm saying
it's essentially a
bye. You were saying if Texas would have won the Oklahoma game, they would be in your three spot.
Yeah. Beating Alabama, beating Oklahoma. Kicking the doors off everybody
else. Nobody else is going to beat Texas then, and there's going to be a rematch.
You don't know that. You don't know that. No, I don't even know who's on their schedule. You know, Texas Tech might get weird. Who knows? Who knows? Who's your number four?
My number four is going to be Oklahoma. So we're right there. I don't know if you're about to say Ohio State, but I think Oklahoma is better than Florida State. I do like Florida State. They're my number five. I do like Florida State, but I think that Oklahoma is right now the fourth best team in the country.
I'm going to put Florida State number four. I'm going to agree with you there. And let me jump ahead and do five because it's not Ohio State. It's actually, I shouldn't do this. You should tell me not to do this.
Do it.
Because I'm going to say a team, they're going to get beat this weekend. And everyone's going to be like, no, you dummy.
It's Washington.
It's Oregon.
Oh, you have Oregon jumping over Washington just because you lost money on Washington?
I'm not vindictive like that yet.
Okay.
I will be. Even this moment, I'm realizing it's Bo Nix. It's like, what are you doing, man? What are you doing?
This is exciting for you.
I think that I believe in Dan Lanning. I believe in their defense. I believe in their hostility. I believe in, their offense. I feel like they're more balanced than Washington is, you know, like Washington's offense. Is it that much better than Oregon's offense? It's better. Is it that much better than Oregon's defense than Washington's defense? I don't think so. So I feel like I think Oregon's going to be there at the end because they're the most balanced team in the pack too. And I believe in them. I'm early in on Oregon.
I'm bumping Ohio State down. I'm buying everything you're selling right now.
Okay.
I want to bump Ohio State down. I think Michigan's better than them. I don't know about Penn State being better than Ohio State. I don't like Ohio State this year. I really am bummed that Notre Dame lost to them. I'm still bummed about that. Like the Louisville thing, trap game, everybody's calling it a Notre Dame loss. That's obvious. But I'm so bummed.
Louisville's good, by the way. They're just good.
I know they are. I'm not trying to take anything away. But Notre Dame should have beat them. Like, you know, in quotes, like whatever, situationally.
I don't know that they should have. I think Louisville's really good.
Notre Dame is really good. And I'm not just doing a homer bit. Like, Notre Dame is a good team. The problem is, I guess there's some better teams that they ended up playing, right? And we'll see what happens with USC this weekend.
Can I help you? The problem is they ran out of time. You know, if you watch the end of that game, it was flipping. It just, why are games so short?
I'm not putting Louisville all the way up at the top, but I am bumping Ohio State down. Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma, Oregon. I like it, man. They've really been killing people, and they look very solid all the way around.
They're going to bone me so hard now just because of this.
I'm not doing that bit. You might be. I'm actually not doing that bit.
The other thing is, I feel like because we agree on Ohio State, they're definitely losing to Penn State, and they're definitely beating Michigan. That is a fact now. We have just sealed that.
They're not beating Michigan.
I tend to agree with you, but I do think there's something to kind of like with Oklahoma and Texas, the amount of disrespect that Oklahoma faced because of that 49-0 beatdown. It was a character in that game. It was a 12th person on the field. I feel like the amount of vitriol Ohio State's going to face because they've been dump trucked by Michigan twice. It feels like it's almost too much to overcome for Michigan.
No. Oh, I was with you that entire time until the end. CJ Stroud turns out to be really good and covered up a lot of problems that Ryan Day is dealing with or is causing. I don't know which one, but CJ Stroud is not at Ohio State anymore. I know you know that. Mm-hmm. He was one of the reasons that they played Georgia so well in the playoffs and that Ohio State was an elite team. Michigan is going to punch Ohio State in the face.
I'm telling you, man, I'm gonna be betting Ohio State in that game.
And I'm gonna be betting Michigan.
I understand it. I just feel like the revenge momentum is gonna be so significant.
If Oregon played Ohio State right now, who would win? Oregon.
On a neutral field?
Yep.
Yeah, I think so. But it's different with Michigan and Ohio State. It's different with your rival.
If Michigan and Oregon played right now on a neutral site, who would win?
Yeah, but you're using a different kind of metric. I'm using
I understand.
It's a month straight of Ryan Day can't even beat Michigan. Ohio State's not tough enough. Michigan's just going to run it down their throat. Jim Harbaugh is so much better than Ryan Day. They're going to be the most motivated you could ever be for a game. And I feel like that counts. That has to be considered.
It does. It is. But Michigan is on like this. Somehow they put a chip on their own shoulder because their coach bought a hamburger for somebody or whatever the situation. Mm-hmm. That chip's not off the shoulder just because Harbaugh's back. This is a crazy situation right now.
And they're crazy talented too, to be honest. It feels like one of those things where it's just a separate issue altogether. I don't know have you seen the buzz on there's a lot of acrimony between Harbaugh and Michigan. Like it's not Harbaugh and the NCAA. It is Harbaugh and Michigan. There is some beef there between the administration and Harbaugh. Like so much that I don't think he's going to be back next year.
I've not heard about this at all. Does this all stem back because Harbaugh and Kirk Cousins might be the same person with different personalities just based on the way they dress and how Harbaugh was saying the other day, have you heard about the Netflix? Oh, I don't know. My wife takes care of it. I've got the YouTube. That's what it was. I got the YouTube TV Red Zone now. Have you heard about this? This is incredible. Y'all know about this? I know Jim doesn't have a Southern accent, but he does. You know what I mean?
It's hard to clown a Midwestern accent. You know, it's a whole different thing. No, I think he feels like Kirk Cousins in aggro mode, you know? But I think there's, cause the NCAA was like, LOL, whatever. Like you bought a hamburger, no big deal. But the administration really forced the issue. And remember, they forced him to take a pay cut a couple years ago and kind of humiliated him, when he couldn't beat Ohio State.
Well, so he couldn't beat Ohio State. He's still there. Like, is this, I'm not asking you if the big,
you're making this personal with me and I don't know why you're talking.
I'm trying to make sure that I think this is Michigan has figured out the exact proper way to motivate him. I think that this is all show to get national championships, to get Jim Harbaugh pissed off, to rev that dog up, to go, dog fighting, can't do that because of Brock Purdy, allegedly, possibly.
Right. And the elderly fighting ring also, allegedly with Kirk Cousins.
I think that they're doing that just to rev Harbaugh up, and it's working. Like, they're controlling their own child. You know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's just buzz. So I can see.
You're saying Jim Harbaugh is out at the end of the season.
Yeah, I feel comfortable making that prediction. He will not be at Michigan. He'll be in the NFL 100%.
Wow. Fact. Put it on the spreadsheet.
That's important. That's an unimportant prediction that I feel very confident at. I'm gonna go ahead and put Ohio State beats Michigan.
No, that's crazy. That's too far.
Notably absent from the top five. Like how much did you consider North Carolina, USC, Louisville, you know, feels like it does need to be talked about, and Ole Miss, probably.
I think USC is different. Oh, okay. I mean, Ole Miss is good, man.
They're not good. Alabama with a quarterback you can't throw forward pass, dog walk them. So that's just a no-go.
Do you give Ole Miss any chance against Georgia? Because I do.
No, I give them no chance.
I give them a chance to cover. Let me say that. USC, in this group of like the next up group, I think Oklahoma is out of that group. And I think Penn State, USC is like that next tier. And then you can start talking about your North Carolinas, your Louisville's, those sort of situations. But I think Oregon is out and in that top group. I think Oklahoma is out of these like, you know, not really consideration type teams and out in that next group. I think USC is going to lose to Notre Dame this weekend.
Okay, I was going to ask you. Let's talk about it. Like, let's talk about it for a second because people want to know. Like, are you getting your hopes up? Or are you like, I'm in the trauma zone and I would like to not watch this game this weekend?
I'm not in the trauma zone. I cannot believe they lost to Ohio State. It's a trap game. It's a Notre Dame loss. Very good Louisville team. A very good. People just aren't talking about how good Louisville actually is in all facets of the game. I think they're going to get USC at home. I really do. And if they don't, I'm going to apologize and put my hand up and say my bad. I'm not going to commiserate for the rest of the season. That'll be the end of the season if they lose to USC at home. And then we just have to admit this isn't the team. That's not the Heisman, but I think they're going to win.
I kind of feel like if Notre Dame loses, we should go in 50-50 on a Caleb Williams jersey that you have to wear for at least the next four podcasts.
I hate the number 13 so much.
My son loves it. I don't know what it is. He's not a Swiftie. He just likes 13. His rationale was no one chooses it, so I always get it. Boom. I was like, that's a good point.
Can we write it off? I don't want to pay for half a USC jersey.
But I feel like you have to. I feel like if you really believe...
I've got $100 on the line with Andre already.
Yeah.
I'm going to make another bet on Notre Dame plus whatever points they're going to be getting.
I think the word you're looking for is all in, hyphenated, one word.
I like Caleb Williams. That's kind of the problem here. I think he's going to be good in the pros.
Yeah.
I don't want a USC jersey in this house, especially a number 13 USC jersey. And I'm not going to burn it after I have to wear it.
Okay, how about this?
That's just wasting money.
We'll go 50-50. You have to wear it for four episodes, and then you can ship it back to me, and I'll handle it from there. Okay?
You're putting me in a situation that I have to admit if I'm doing a bit or not, that I actually believe that Notre Dame's going to win.
I know you're not doing a bit. I know you actually believe they're going to win. So there's no nuance here. To be fair, I'm with you.
I don't know if I can deal with having this over my head on Saturday. This might be the meanest thing you've ever done to me. I'm trying to think of all the mean things you've ever done to me and the graphics that you and your AI friends make.
Not me, AI. Yeah.
This situation that you're putting me in, because I should just confidently say like, yeah, sure, no problem. But I don't want a USC jersey.
Okay, let me put it to you like this. If Notre Dame loses, you're going to get martyred anyway. You might as well like find a cross to get martyred on, you know, and like make content out of it. Do you know what I mean?
If USC
it's
happen loses, anyway.
If Notre Dame loses, USC wins, you're going to be martyred on social media anyway because you're the Notre Dame guy. You might as well find a cross to like be martyred on, and we can make content out of it. Do you
T-shirt,
know what I mean?
T-shirt jersey.
Oh, gross! That's horrifying. That's horrifying. Do we need to get Andre to mediate this? You're thinking no because you know where he's going to land.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking no. I have no clue how that helps.
Tattoo on the b-hole. Caleb Williams' face on Jason's b-hole.
Full tattoo. I'm also trying to think how I pull you into this because.
But I'm with you. I'm riding with you. I think SMA is going to have 270 rushing. And if he doesn't, they're insane.
So you're riding with me? You're back on? Because we already dealt with that. You left me last Saturday morning. You're back?
I didn't leave you. I just...
You left me.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't. I gauged your confidence.
I've got the audio from Monday. You left me last Saturday. You were asking me... You knew something was up that day.
I did. I didn't bet. So I didn't bet.
Yeah, so
I didn't lose money.
So you were no longer with me.
No, I just was, I made a business decision and watched from the sidelines.
I'm trying to bring Bo Nix into this somehow. But you've already taken the stance that Oregon's going to break your heart, so.
It's tricky. It's a real pickle, you know? Do you want to continue?
USC hat. I have to wear a USC hat for four episodes.
Oh, man.
We can take this to Andre as well. It's going to get worse for me. We can take this to Instagram as well.
Okay. Can I choose the hat?
You're going to choose the USC hat and I have to buy it. And it has to be under... We still split.
Counterpoint. Let's let the listeners... We'll do a poll.
Oh,
we'll
my gosh.
Two appropriately priced hats, reasonable and respectful. And we'll let the listeners vote on which hat you have to buy, wear, and then keep in your house.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Okay.
What happens if Notre Dame wins?
Nothing. You didn't say anything. So, you know... You should have offered. I mean, we're on the same. If Notre Dame was, we both win money, and we high five, and that's awesome.
I need proof that you bet on Notre Dame money line or
easy,
spread.
Easy. I'll send it to you as soon as it's done.
Okay.
Listen, I believe you. I believe you. I'm with you. So I think USC is due a tumble, you know, and I feel like the odds are against them. I think Caleb Williams is amazing, but I feel like that team is just made out of Caleb Williams, and I think Notre Dame's going to run it down their throat. And they're due a bounce back. And this is going to be it. Okay, Jason, it's time to advise people on how to get a payday this weekend, brought to you by King's Hawaiian Pretzel Bread.
There will come a payday. Hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday, someday. There will come a payday. Hallelujah, what a payday. There will come a payday someday.
While our picks for your next payday are just guesses, the only real guarantee in life is King's Hawaiian pretzel bread. It won't make your family love you or your boss respect you, but it will be delicious, guaranteed. I did smoke a Boston Butt this weekend, and we went through 2 packs of King's Hawaiian pretzel bread. My son crushed some. My daughters crushed some. I crushed some. It was amazing.
Not you making sliders with them, or are they on the side?
Did both. I did some buns.
Unbelievable.
And then I did some sliders.
I got to buy some this weekend. That's what's going to help me here.
It was, yeah, that's what you need, the power of the pretzel bread.
King's Hawaiian, a guaranteed Notre Dame win. King's Hawaiian pretzel bread.
Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. All right, Jason, what are you advising people on this weekend?
This weekend, I am taking Notre Dame. Give 2.5 points, and they're going to win. That's where we're at right now, for sure. What about yourself?
We can't stop now, because it's Bad Boys for Life. Bad Boys for Life. I'm with you. I think I'm going to go Moneyline. I think I'm going to go Moneyline. I feel good about that. I feel very confident about that. I'm going to go, you know, the one I'm going to pick, I was thinking about messing with LSU Auburn and then talk myself out of that. I thought about going Iowa Wisconsin under. It's 34.5 points, which is an absurd amount of points to go over in a college football game. But Iowa Wisconsin is just dog crunch offensive football.
You're taking under 34.5?
I mean, I might personally, but that's not, as I'm just taking the people through what I was thinking about.
Okay.
Right? What I was considering. I went away from that and I decided I'm going to go, Tennessee, is giving 3 points to Texas A&M. The Aggies are coming to Knoxville. I feel like it's a bad situation all the way around for Texas A&M. It's a real 5-alarm fire. And I feel like Tennessee is built to give this Texas A&M team fits, and they're going to air it out. And I think they're going to get back on track. So I think Tennessee to cover easily.
I am going with you on that one. I really like that. I think A&M is finally at that point, and I think this road trip is not going to help them at all. I think there's to the point that you've been talking about wanting all season, all year, all everything, right? And I think we're there. And so
this could be the game. This could be the game that takes off the top. Also, Max 2X Johnson. He plays like someone who thinks he has like multiple Mario lives, but if he gets hurt, there's not like really a backup, and it could get real weird and ugly after that, given that Connor Wegman's out.
We don't root for injuries, but we do root for chaos, and let's just say that he has a stomach bug, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it could get bad quick.
It could get really weird.
And it also feels like a get-right type game for Tennessee at home as well. If Texas A&M starts imploding and Tennessee starts playing well, this -3 might be very safe.
Yeah. I feel good about that. Okay, before we go to Kamen closes the pin, let's check in with Andre to get his 3-stack pack of picks.
Gentlemen, how we doing? Happy week 7 of college football. Hard to believe we are halfway through the football season. Mrs. 3-Stacks and I are getting ready to head towards Nashville. The Georgia Bulldogs are in the Music City taking on Vanderbilt, looking to cover a 4-touchdown spread. A couple of week 7 best bets. Continue to want no part of that Michigan State Spartans football team, so give me Rutgers -5.5. I'll take BYU on the road +5 and Navy -3. Lastly, a little bonus bet for week 7. Give me the Oregon Ducks +3 on the road at Washington. I think they play just a little bit more defense to get it done.
Let's go to Cam close to the pin. Now we are first round of the new season was last week. We picked Marv Levy. For round 2, we are going to be guessing. We mentioned Jake Plummer in the Brock Purdy segment. We're going to be guessing Jake Plummer's cameo closest to the pin price.
Jake Plummer, he's the mushroom guy now. Is that correct?
I don't know for sure. He's either farming mushrooms or marijuana, and I can't remember which.
I know he's doing mushrooms. I know he's growing mushrooms.
Okay.
Isn't there another Jake? What's the
Jake
other
from Safe Farm?
Jake from Safe Farm. What was the
Jake the Snake?
What was the old Seahawks quarterback? Who am I thinking
of? Jake Pavelka.
Before Hasselbeck.
John Kitna.
Am I just making this up? Is there no other Jake? Oh, there is. There is. I've almost got it. Panthers or Jags quarterback. Played in...
Jake DeLome.
DeLome. Yes.
God, that guy.
I used to get those two mixed up all the time. This is Jake Plummer. Okay, I'm ready.
All right, I've got mine. What you got?
$75 for Mr.
Jake Plummer. Dang, bro. 76.
Oh, 76. My gosh.
All right, Jake Plummer.
I visually saw you write it down, and I guess first, and I don't write mine down, and that is actually pretty incredible. We've been teasing doing like a 100 and a 101, a 99 and a 101. We've been teasing getting this close, but here we are. I get everything 75 and below, and you get 76 and above.
It's gamesmanship, you know? That's just like professionalism. This was like when you're watching Cornhole on ESPN because there's nothing else on, and you don't want to like really flip around, so you just like give into it.
You don't have to... Hold on. You don't need to rationalize like that. Watching Cornhole is awesome.
It's not. It's not good. It's like watching darts. It's like, what am I doing?
Oh my gosh, watching darts is awesome. Watching people that are elite at an activity is awesome to watch.
No, I just need more variance. It's like, oh, you missed like by a quarter of an inch, and that's the end of the world. Like,
that's fair.
I need scope.
Let's have
here,
a moving, you know, board or something.
Yeah, I like that.
Obstacles.
Let's go blind. Let's do some stuff. I think I said popsicles, like throwing popsicles or eating popsicles. I mean, that's weird, but I'm not against it, you know? Okay, Jake the Snake Plumber, who grows mushrooms, you can have for $55.
Yes.
$55.
Let's do this.
Congratulations. He says, whether you're a Hillside Ram, Capital Eagle, ASU Sun Devil, Arizona Cardinal, Denver Bronco, or anyone for that matter, end of sentence. So send his fragment in his description, which I love.
We don't need to edit and grammatically correct Jake Plummer.
It's kind of weird because he was like, he got into, I'm going to name all my teams. So he did like literally like high school, middle school, college, pro, or anyone for that matter.
And then it just
shut down. Just didn't finish. Like, what about it? Like, whether you're what, like, what does that mean? He says, I'm game to help you make someone's day a little more special with a unique custom message direct from me, Jake the Snake Plumber. 5 stars, 195 ratings. He looks great. I mean, I look older than him, and he's definitely older than me. So like, good job, Jake. Maybe the mushrooms are working. It's all lovely. He just seems like he's having a lovely life. You know, unless he's been problematic and I don't know it. And in that case, disavow, full disavow. But I don't think he has, you know,
we should record a disclaimer. Like, if we had a gambling, sponsor, like we're going to one day, but like we should have just a set disclaimer, like at the beginning, or maybe the end makes a little bit more sense.
I think it's during the beginning of Cameo Closes the Pen, you know?
Well, I'm just saying, like, we talked about Brock Purdy. We talked about Jim Harbaugh. We talked about the people at Michigan. Like,
so instead of like a post-roll ad, it's like just like a super fast speech where it's like, yes, the thoughts and opinions of this commentary and this conversation is not meant to be held to a societal standard of appropriateness. And at any point, if they do disobey the cultural standards of appropriateness, we do disavow fully and completely forever. Like something like that. Like,
you literally just came up with that off the top of your head.
It's a little clunky.
It's not a little clunky. There was like,
I think
one
it'll sound better if we speed it up. We'll speed it up and it'll be.
You sped yourself up. Great job by you, man.
That was the Micro Machines guy. That was like in my head.
Man, he was incredible.
He was incredible. People don't. We should check him out on Cameo, unless he's problematic, and then we disavow him.
we've got the disclaimer now.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Over Underachievers. Before we go, we'd like to encourage you to spread the word about the show by tweeting, Instagram, or just talking about it out loud around other people. You know that's the best way to help us out, and it makes you look like a genius because of what great taste you have. As always, I'm Knox. He's Jason, potentially the owner of a Caleb Williams jersey and or hat. We'll see offline. We'll see. We'll talk about it, and we'll see you next time.
Somebody once told me the world is going to roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb and the shape of it out on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and they don't stop coming. Back to the wounds and I hit the ground running. It didn't make sense, not a little fun. The brain gets smart, but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see, so what's wrong with thinking the back streets? You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey girl, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, yeah. Hey, shooting stars, way from home. It's a cool place, and they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wait till you get older. But the media man begs to differ, judging by the hole in the solar light picture. The ice we skate is getting pretty clear. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. When world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it, and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. All back when I think you're only shooting stars, way